You are listening to SPN, the Sports Podcasting Network.
Hey, this is Jim Shamrock, world's most dangerous man, and they call me the Godfather. You're listening to Down the Aisles.
Good night. Good night. Welcome to Down the Aisle Radio. Last half the show. WWE Payback tonight. What did you think of the show? Call us right now, 929-477-3874, # SPN Radio. My name is Kevin Larame, and it's always a pleasure to join you. Tonight, we're going to talk about this pay-per-view that was kind of refreshing, kind of new, kind of a new feeling, good ideas, execution sometimes was lacking. A big injury to Enzo Amore off the top. So we'll start with this. The latest news on Enzo Amore right now. He is up. He is talking. He seems like he's all right. It seems like it was a hard concussion. He was basically knocked out. It seems like a blackout. So that would be a severe concussion. That was a diagnosis. Right now, all the tests turned out negative. So that's positive for Enzo Amore. Hopefully he doesn't miss too much of ring time, but it's concussions. You have to be fairly careful of how to introduce him back on the roster to make sure that there's not a symptoms dragging for the concussions. So for this, you know, he's the best guy on the stick probably already on the roster, so you want him to be fine, but you can always use him just on the stick and not make him wrestle. And because he's in a tag team, it's kind of easier to hide him and to protect him, even though he's the type of guy that was getting the hot tag work, so he was getting the shit beat out of him to before giving the hot tag to Colin Cassidy, better known as Big Cass. So what did you think about this WWE special event on the network or a pay-per-view? Call us right now. The lines are open, 929-477-3874. This pay-per-view started with Enzo and Cass, and the vaudeville was supposed to be the final match of the tournament to crown a new number one contender for the WWE Tag Team Championship. This tournament is obviously sponsored by Bootios. Bootios, they make sure you're not booty. So, it's pay-per-view started with, the New Day coming out with the Chicago crowd at the Rosemont Horizon. I refuse to call it the Allstate Arena. If you've seen the logo of this show right now, it is the old picture of the Rosemont Horizon, which is kind of nice to see those old school arena still used by WWE. There's a couple of ones that even this one got upgraded a couple of times over the years, and it does have that, you know, that famous LED line all across the arena that you see the Payback or WWE sign all along the night, which a couple of old school, like the in North Carolina in Greenville, you know, the Greensboro Coliseum, you know, that famous building doesn't have that and has a special feel. But yeah, so Rosemont Horizon, that's where the pay-per-view was tonight. A raucous crowd in Chicago, as always. We'll see that later when Mr. McMahon came out and had to deal with this crowd. But Enzo and Cass came out, did his shtick. It worked perfectly. People loved it. They ate it up. And the match barely got started, and that's when Enzo was getting whipped into the ropes. He was trying to slide under, baseball slide, to get outside. But he hit his head on the second rope, then hit his head on the first rope, and hit his head really hard, but very quickly, very suddenly, on the mat, went outside, and probably hit his head again on the concrete. So a very tough break for Enzo. The match was stopped eventually because Big Cass went to check on him right away, and the referee came to check, and right away they called for the paramedics and eventually called for a stretcher. He was stretchered out. He was knocked out, basically. Daylights was gone for Enzo Amore. Hopefully, again, he has a speedy recovery. The latest news is that he was moving extremities. He was actually up and talking. Probably what they call a stinger. and a hard concussion. Officially, all the tests were negative. So maybe it's not even a stinger. Maybe it's just concussion. And maybe he's even fine. Hopefully, he's just got knocked out. Hopefully, he's okay. So that was the latest news on Enzo Amore. And now that we have that very... It had a somber feel after the injury. So, and there was a lot of time cut out, too. So they actually went on a limp. And after this Zayn and Kevin Owens match, Kevin Owens did a great promo to probably eat up some time that was supposed to be allotted to the tag team match. It didn't happen. Barely happened. Like, not even 5 minutes, I would say. So Zayn and Matt and Kevin Owens probably had one of the matches, I wouldn't say match of the year. People are calling it match of the year on Twitter and on Facebook. I wouldn't go as far as saying it's a match of the year at all. I would say it was a very good match, very decent match, that it serves the purpose of the story. The story is not meant to be ended anytime soon. It's a story that's probably going to be lasted for years from down the road. So you need to find ways to continue this story. And the way they finished the win, and then Kevin Owens finally getting the win on Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn wouldn't get out. He pushed him out. And then he did the promo, and Byron Saxton interrupted him. And then Kevin Owens did the promo that, you know, from ask me how, why I beat Sami Zayn. Ask me how. You know, it was a great promo by Kevin Owens, and he was eating up some time. Probably that was the reason with this ad-lib promo, but it was done well. And it transitioned to, oh, you're going to have the IC. I want my IC title back, you know. I'm done with Sami Zayn, so I want my title back. And then the title match was next. And he's like, you know, that's a good, thanks for letting me know, Byron Saxton. You know what? Thanks for the invitation. I am going to join you at the announce table for this match. So we had Kevin Owens arguing with Byron Saxton and Michael Cole with the John DeJ on the side of JBL, which was an actual great moment where Kevin Owens berated Byron Saxton, berated almost everybody in that commentary team, did a great job doing the great performance as a commentator. Kevin Owens is probably the best commentator and the best wrestler on the roster as we speak, but that's getting complicated because there's a lot of good roster now. There's a lot of good wrestlers on the roster. So this was a Fight Forever chant already. It's like 5 minutes in. I think the Fight Forever chant will be maybe associated with Sami Zayn. It's twice now in the last month and a half that we heard that chant. When he faced Nakamura at TakeOver Dallas, we heard that chant. And tonight against Kevin Owens, we heard that Fight Forever chant again. So that is maybe one of the chants with the ole and the oh. When people chant his music like they did in Chicago, it actually is quite awesome. The atmosphere it creates, the different vibe, the different feel, it creates very, very positive energy in an arena. And that's the case with Sami Zayn's song when the whole crowd is singing. So that just awesome entrance by Sami Zayn as always. So KO wins. It was a great match and then a great promo by Kevin Owens, and he's saying he's going to stay for the commentary. Then we have Cesaro and The Miz come out. Normal match, and you know, it's nothing special. It's The Miz and Cesaro. So we see everybody's spot. Cesaro survived the skull crushing finale, kicked out, went for the spin, you know. But eventually, Sami Zayn comes to attack Kevin Owens at the announce table. So when that happens, eventually they end like on the apron fighting each other. So Cesaro bangs both of them at the apron, so he's kind of distracted. Miz rolls him up, fistful of tights for the one, the two, and the three. And still the Intercontinental Champion, The Miz. And then we had Kevin Owens saying, look, I've got it. Miz, good job, we're getting back. I'm coming for my title. Now that I'm done with Sami Zayn, I'm coming for my belt. He's going to give Miz the Papa Powerbomb, but Maryse grabbed the Miz's legs, dragged him outside, and dragged him to safety. Maryse playing the heel manager wife slash manager wife role. Basically, that's what it is. It's manager wife type of gimmick for Maryse, and she's actually playing it quite believably. Then we're transitioning to Jericho and Ambrose. And one fact, this pay-per-view was very well set because before every match, you had a video introducing that feud, talking about what the last month and a half was for that feud in particular. And it made for every match to mean something. meant that every match had quite a similar level, but high importance similar level. Yeah, the title match felt more important, and the women's championship match felt more important, and it wasn't slotted in a way that you felt that it was just a throwaway match. Because of that build-up video that they did show of that match before and with the presence of Ric Flair and Bret Hart, it actually gave credence to that match and give importance to that match. So you have those aspects going for this pay-per-view, and all the match were, first of all, in ring. This pay-per-view was probably one of the best in years for the WWE outside of the botch of Enzo Amore, which unfortunately got him injured. So outside of that, in ring, it was a very good pay-per-view. Great pay-per-view quality matches that were very different in themselves, that were not similar. And that was one of the critiques that people were saying about the product, and maybe the new era tag that they did put on this new era tag that they put on the show and on this pay-per-view, saying it's the first pay-per-view of a new era. Maybe what they mean is we're going to try to make matches stand out by being all of them a little bit different with each other. And that way, all of them stand out a little. If the work is similar across the board, it's just a mush. It's just a flu. It's not precise. It's not detailed. It's just there, you know. But when you have different type of matches that look differently, it's actually encouraging for the athletes to put a different show. Lines are open. I remind you, give us a call, 929-477-3874 here on SBN Radio, hashtag SBN Radio. What did you think of Payback? So Jericho and Ambrose, again, a great match, a very decent match. Nothing spectacular. Ambrose got the victory at the end. It was probably not the least, because it was good. Like, it was good. It did its purpose. It wasn't the best logical and the best built feud ever. It was just a feud to transition both of them to another thing down the road, and there was something to do in the meantime. So in a way, it was a transitional type of feud, which is fine. You need that. And to make one feud stand out, you need the one feud to be just all right. That's what it was. It was all right. It did its job. It did its purpose. It didn't bury any of the two characters or any of the two Ambrose or Jericho. Moreover, coming out of this, not necessarily. Ambrose, maybe, at least he got a victory, at least, for once. Lost at WrestleMania to Brock Lesnar. But what? It's how you expect it. So it depends. It's going to be interesting to see where they transition now. That's where it's important, because you already have AJ Styles and Roman Reigns. Yes, spoiler already. AJ Styles, Roman Reigns at Extreme Rules are going to battle each other again. And we'll get to that match later on. Because there were some shenanigans, but no, it wasn't the shenanigans that people wanted to see. It wasn't the Bullet Club. Anderson and Gallows were involved, but I refrain from calling them the Bullet Club just quite as of yet, because they're not the Bullet Club yet. So we'll see. They're probably not going to be named the Bullet Club in WWE. I say probably because you never know. They could always acquire the rights, which I doubt. New Japan will let go for a cheap sum, but that is a possibility, but because it's been talked on the website, WWE.com, about the Bullet Club and about the history in New Japan of those individuals together, linking Finn Balor as well to that story. So it's that seed that's been planted. So Finn Balor was, by the way, in a dark match after the pay-per-view in Chicago. So that's another thing that's interesting. He wasn't involved. So we'll talk about the shenanigans later. But yeah, so Jericho Ambrose, and it's the Women's Championship. And they did maybe the one thing that I didn't like in the whole pay-per-view was this match. The match in itself was great. Wasn't the takeover match it was the arrival match, I believe, back then, of Natty and Charlotte. No, it was another iteration of that match with a couple of different ideas and a story being told. The story being told is they screwed Natty. Charlotte put on the sharpshooter, the referee. Charles David Robinson, a.k.a. Little Nate, rang the bell, Herb Hebner style, before she tapped out. And it's the Chicago screw job in the women's division. Yes, it's not organic, it's fake, it's cheesy, it's a throwback to a almost 20-year-old event that happened in another unrelated city, but just with Brett. Do you always have to mention the fucking screw job every time Brett comes on the show? Is it the fact that it happened enough? Do you have to? The guy just coming from fighting cancer, and you had him be reminded of his screw job in front of his face. And then he gets to hit Ric Flair and pull a sharpshooter on Ric Flair while Natty hits the champion and puts the sharpshooter on the champion. I just thought it was a little cheesy. It was like the comedy moment of the night. I didn't like that Chicago screw job fake moment. It was just, I thought it was bad, to be honest. I thought it was just shitty. That it was, and, you know, it's the Women's Championship. All right, it's brand new now. It's coming off of the freaking WrestleMania change with Lita. The speech was bad, but the news was so good that the moment's still great. With the new belt, the word Diva's out. They got a new attitude, a new credibility to that belt, you know, to that championship, to that whole division with new roster that's actually wrestling in the ring and not treated as just an afterthought, but the match in itself are treated the same with the same type of storyline and implication and dedication of planning the match involved, like the guys. So, what do you do in the first pay-per-view after WrestleMania? You do a non-strong finish. You know, why not build your heel champion? And not already in the first defense of that brand new championship. Well, it's not the first defense, technically. It happened on Raw, but the first pay-per-view defense of this brand new championship belt. You do a shenanigans finish where there's a screw job and it's probably going to drag on the feud, but dragging on the feud is fine. Why do a screw job for this belt in the first? It diminishes its value already. This belt needs to be protected strong like the main WWE title. That's what it is. It's the equivalent of the World Heavyweight Championship. It's the Women's World Heavyweight belt. You get what I'm saying? So that belt needs to be respected. Not to be freaking fucking Chicago's food job on the first pay-per-view. That I think is stupid. That I think has not its place, especially in the first pay-per-view. Give it a 3-4 month where Charlotte beats the babyface, maybe cheating, but cheating in the way where she gets her feet on the ropes, a.k.a. Ric Flair style, but not necessarily the same way or something. Don't do a Chicago screw job, you know. I think it just diminishes the value of the whole damn thing. But that's just my opinion. What are your opinions on the Charlotte and Natty Chicago screw job finish? 929-477-3874. You are listening to SPN Radio.
Hey, this is Ken Shamrock, World's Most Dangerous Man, and they call me the Godfather. You're listening to Down the Aisles.
Now we arrive to the point in the pay-per-view where the McMahon take over the show. The McMahons almost has a hole, only missing in the kayfabe McMahon family of the WWE, only missing Linda and Triple H to be involved in this reunion in the ring. It starts off with Vince coming out talking about huge CM Punk chant. When I'm saying huge, I'm saying huge. And lasted for like 15, 20 seconds. Then Vince is like, that's all you got? That's all you got? I would expect more from you. I would expect more. That's all you got? Let me see how long you can get with it. Guess what? He stopped and he squashed it like he did the one time prior in Chicago when the same damn thing happened when Vince McMahon was on the microphone. Say what you will about Vince McMahon, the character slash the real man. I think the lines are getting blurry with Racine. I think that's what they're going for with that whole speech and that whole Shane McMahon almost pipe bomb-ish kayfabe type of commentaries he did when he came out. But yeah, so it's Vince saying a shtick. Stephanie comes out saying that in her reign as Monday night, the authority of the reigns of Monday night. They've seen the WWE Network, great amount of publicity. They've seen a great championship. They've seen the rise of Roman Reigns. Blah, blah, blah. And then Shane comes out to a great reception, great pop. You still got it, chant. Shane McMahon, still awesome, according to the crowd. And I have to say, we'll see where this thing goes down the line. But it's quite interesting where they're going with it. And they're finding a way to keep Shane on TV. A babyface authority figure is really making things look fresh. Everything else looks quite the same. But the fact that it's a different eye, the eye has been changed. We're looking at this show through the viewpoint of a babyface. So you're not frowned upon for cheering for the guy who you cheer for. So, for example, when Cena comes back or any babyface, Shane McMahon will be behind them. At least for those fans, they're not going to feel like they're losers because the authority is going to make them and say that they are losers. So that point of view makes everybody else feel a little bit better when you're watching the show because it's a little bit more positive when Shane McMahon's involved because of his babyface authority figure role. So Steph comes out. Steph has huge heat. Huge heat. Booze showering down on her from the top of the Roseman Horizon to the bottom of the aisle. Booms are just raining down on her. And she's saying, blah, 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 and she's running down Shane saying, look, he left you 7 years ago. He's lacking the intelligence and the integrity. And I thought it was quite weird that she put those two words in the same sentence one after the other. Because intelligence, integrity, does it remind you of somebody in particular that's actually a free agent as we speak? Might be retired, but could be convinced to have a last run, or maybe as a non-wrestling type of character. Kurt Angle could be that guy. We'll see. I think it could be a hint. It could be nothing at all. It could be nothing, but let's just state the fact that on May 1st, this pay-per-view, Stephanie McMahon used the word integrity and intelligence in the same sentence. Could it be something? Probably not. They're probably not that clever. They're probably not that good. But if they are, hey, you heard it first here on SBN Radio. Down the Aisle Wrestling Podcast is the main show here talking about wrestling. If you go from a couple weeks ago, we had our WrestleMania week on the network where we talked to Mike Sempervivi, we talked to Zach McGibbon, another different contributor to the website about WrestleMania, about the TakeOver Dallas, about the Nakamura match, about a lot of different things covering the world of wrestling. The State of the Union talk with Mike Sempervivi was quite a popular show on the network. So if you are a big wrestling fan, Down the Aisle Wrestling Podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Feedburner, Podbean, Podcast, anywhere you like, but especially on the Sports Podcasting Network, where you can find the archive episodes of this very show here. Either it's Down the Aisle Radio, either Open Line After Dark, a sports radio show that's no boundaries. You can talk about any topic, any subject in the world of sports that you want. And starting this Wednesday, 3:30 p.m. on May 4th, for all our soccer fans out there, soccer is basically the originator of the network. Is the first couple of shows we did on the network were Olympics with Five Rings. Off the Woodworks was the first show I created four years ago. And now there's about 20 different shows from different time to time on the network. So hope you like the show. Hope you like the network. Go visit us, sportspodcastingnetwork.com/SBN Radio or just sportspodcastingnetwork.com. And if you go on iTunes, Twitter, anywhere you like, you can find us at SportsPodNet. On Facebook, just look for the Sports Podcasting Network page. Give us a like and stay in the know for all the upcoming shows and upcoming new different content that the network is creating, especially here on SPN Radio. Lines are open, 929-477-3874. Talk about your impression of the pay-per-view tonight. What did you think of Payback? So Shane comes out. He says that, look, in my reign, first of all, Steph, how many headlines did you have stating that you were doing a good job while you were running Raw? Exactly. So let me point you to this. Let me point you to the screen behind me. Let me point you to the headlines that I have generated as the guy running Raw over the last 3 weeks. Fox Sports. Shane revitalizes Raw and makes it cool again. Makes it a must-see show. Like even obscure reference like Sportskeeda, which they weren't spelled out as a whole because it's a clunky website. We all know it. But the logo, SK logo, was there. So, you know, they did go out of their way to find sources to put headlines. I should have created one on the network just to see it would have made its way to the Titantron. But yeah, you had those headline and Twitter comment of people about Shane McMahon and how he should run Raw. And then you had him doing the shtick again where he's putting his hand on top of Stephanie saying, how many people want Stephanie to be running Raw? Boo! How many people want me? Ah, people going apeshit. So, yeah, eventually they're arguing and Shane's saying something that is quite interesting to me. And it's almost like breaking kayfabe type of commentaries, but I think it's a fake one. I think it's a remark to make everybody think that it's fake, but it's just a remark. As we noticed, as we've actually been told a few months ago when Shane McMahon first made his return to the WWE, he was solely as a performer, as an on-screen character, nothing to do with behind the scenes. So if he does imply behind the scene control, it's all for show. So it does give a different aspect to this work, this angle, because we kind of know that it's fake. But yeah, so what Shane said, which might be for real, this might be the actual truth of why and how he left 7 years ago, said that he and the chairman, which is Vince McMahon, his father, had difference of opinion on where the company should be going and how it should get there. Such a difference of opinion that eventually a unreconcilable drift happened between the two, where working together was not possible. And Shane left. It left a void for Stephanie and Triple H to come back in. And with all their poison spewed all across the roster, through the arenas, through the whole people watching, I've brought the ship almost down to the ground. I've almost burned down the Enterprise to the ground. Might be slightly very much exaggerated, but it's just to throw a point around for Shane McMahon. So, that's interesting, you know, that the whole type of kayfabe or break kayfabe that comments say, look, here's the real reason, Steph, which maybe you didn't know, why I left 7 years ago. So, here's to you. Take this and do something with it. And then, Vince McMahon saying, you know, what I would like to see is you fight you and you being tearing each other apart and having so... You're running Raw, and you're running Raw. You're both having the same amount of power. Go figure it out. Have fun. No chance. No chance in hell. You've got. So that's what's happening. Stephanie McMahon and Shane McMahon are both in control of Raw, which theory is the whole company, and we've seen this into effect already because they changed the issue of the pay-per-view twice tonight. We're getting there very quickly. Styles Roman Reigns is the next match. Styles comes out to big cheers, AJ Styles chant, phenomenal chants. Roman Reigns comes out, booed really loudly, very loudly. Roman Reigns sucks chants, and not like, let's go Roman sucks. No. Purely Roman sucks chant. Quite loudly in this old very building. So it starts, and eventually, phenomenal forearm from AJ Styles. It's actually a quite decent match with everybody has its moment. Quite stiff kick, stiff clothesline, stiff chop, stiff work. Between the two, Roman can take it and AJ can dish it. So we saw that at the beginning of that match, which eventually led to Roman Reigns being outside AJ Styles, well, he's outside close to the announce table. AJ Styles, phenomenal forearm through the table. Roman Reigns is done. AJ Styles trying to get him into the ring at 8. He drops, he can't get him in. And just rolls in for the 9. Wait a second. 10. Roman gets counted out. AJ wins. But because it's a count out, Roman retains. Everybody boos. Nobody's happy. Everybody's like, oh. First of all, I was thinking, why don't you just go in and out of the ring like everybody does? You just stop the count and come back outside and you just bring him in after. But apparently that doesn't work anymore. I didn't get the memo. Did you get the memo? 929-477-3874. But so, what happens? Here comes the money. Starts playing. Shane McMahon comes out. He's like, no. That may be how things used to end in the old era. But in this new era, we're doing things differently. The match restarts, and it's now a no count out. Match restarts, and we're having the match, and then AJ's on top of the top rope, going for phenomenal forearm inside the ring. Reigns hits AJ right in the balls. AJ falls and yells, my balls. Just like the girl hitting my vag last week at the knockout pay-per-view, which was maybe considered Shelly Martinez and a rebel. The match between the two was considered one of the worst ever. She was yelling my vag after a weird move. But I think it was maybe a call out to that. But AJ Styles got hit in the balls pretty hard. And he's like, oh, my balls. Well, he's not saying it, but he's yelling something else. It's inaudible. And then Stephanie McMahon comes out like, as Stephanie McMahon said earlier, things are not the same now in the new era. But what he forgot to mention is that this match is now a no DQ as well. That's important. Remember this match, a no DQ, people. And of course, this was all a way to get to this match to be in a no DQ. So Gallows and Anderson would come in and interfere. Not long at all. Once Roman Reigns get hit with 2 straight Superman punch and he's outside the ring. AJ Styles just done outside the ring after those 2 Superman punch. Gallows and Anderson come out, beats Roman Reigns, lays him out, leaves the ring, let AJ go back in. And a little bit while after, Usos come out, way too late, by the way, to save Roman. But they come out and fight. But they're just there for bodies for 2 spots to happen. Eventually, when AJ Styles and Roman Reigns are fighting again, AJ Styles on top of the third rope, looking to do like a backflip of some sort. Roman Reigns throws him and like flips him in the air outside the ring, lands on the Usos and Doc and Anderson that were outside there. They caught him. It was a great looking spot. And eventually Roman Reigns did a suicide tope on all of them outside. Fuck the Usos. Fuck my cousins. I'm going to dive onto them. I don't care. 1 versus all. That's what happened there. So, that's the end of the match, and eventually it led to Styles trying to go for the phenomenal forearms again, but Roman's duck. AJ lands on his feet, rolls, lands in the rope, comes back, spear, and he's down for the 1, the 2, and the 3. Roman Reigns is still the WWE World Heavyweight Champion, to the dismay of the whole crowd. Boos galore. People were not happy. I have to say the match was quite well laid out. Very good match. Very good wrestling match. Probably one of Roman Reigns' best match so far as a main eventer, as a single competitor. I think AJ Styles put on a great match with him and made him look good. And that's what you want. As a heel still, looks great. You know, you had that spot of AJ Styles going for the pin. And the 1-2, Roman Reigns put on the rope. And I kind of like the subtle inclusion of heel spot in Roman Reigns' attire. You know what he did too? He did a jawbreaker. When he grabs the head of the other guy when he's underneath and lands on his knees, he did that move too. Those 2 moves right here are clearly known as heel moves. So the fact that Roman Reigns is including those moves in his arsenal might be leading to something. You know, that tweener aspect where he's, I'm just a good guy and not a bad guy. I'm the guy. And he doesn't say the phrase now. He didn't speak at all tonight. But JBL has just talked about him and he's the guy. He's the guy. He's the guy. So that's what they're going with. They're cutting that phrase short or cutting the two-thirds of it and keeping the best part, which is the guy aspect of it. Now, after the match, goes to backstage, you had Vince, Shane, and Stephanie. And Vince like, oh, great match. Oh, what a great match. Oh, what a great quality match. Oh, that was just great. That was great. Oh, Shane, I love how you came out there and restarted the match, making know that it's a new era. I love it. But, Stephanie, I have to say what you did was even better. Go out there and make it a no DQ. Oh, I just love what you did. Oh, and now, what do you think of that? What do you think should happen? Do you think AJ needs a rematch? And if he does, when and how it should be? Stephanie's like, well, next pay-per-view is Extreme Rules. Shane implies, and Extreme Rules is exactly the type of match that those two should be having as a rematch for the championship. Oh, that's what we're going to have. Match is sealed, signed, sealed, delivered. The rematch coming for Extreme Rules. Roman Reigns versus AJ Styles in a Extreme Rules match. SPN, the Sports Podcasting Network. Visit us, sportspodcastingnetwork.com. Lines are open, 929-477-3874. Give us your opinion of the directions you think they're going. Now, the last subject tonight on this live WWE Payback After Show on SPN Radio. You can find us on sportspodcastingnetwork.com/SPN Radio or blogtalkradio.com/SPN Radio. Gallows and Anderson. Where do they go from here? What's going to happen? They were involved in the match. I'm not going to say that it was an involvement that had like no resolution in their involvement. It didn't accelerate or progress the story further at all. We're still just wondering what's going to happen. Still nothing. Still not clearly stating they have an involvement that AJ Styles is aware of and that is a part of. Or that we know that he doesn't agree, so technically he's not a part of. Do we know if he's telling the truth or a liar? That's the question. So we'll see if that is true. We'll see if AJ Styles is a liar, or if Gallows and Anderson have ulterior agenda, maybe with a Finn Balor, which is a big tease because of the Balor Club and all that, or maybe it's Roman Reigns in a turn heel type of fashion that does align himself with Gallows and Anderson. That's the question. Where are they going from here? Will we see a resolution of that story at Payback? Payback was tonight. No. Extreme Rules. Next one. What's going to happen with Bray Wyatt and the Wyatt family? They were supposed to have an involvement at Payback before Bray Wyatt got injured to his calf, which is about 4 weeks away. I've heard last couple times I heard it was 4 weeks away maybe for a return. So that is not necessarily in time for Extreme Rules because it's a quick turnaround, Extreme Rules, in 3 weeks down the road. And don't be surprised to have a lot of rematch for Extreme Rules. Wouldn't be surprised if we actually get a rematch between Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. If not this pay-per-view, maybe the one after. Maybe this pay-per-view, Kevin Owens goes after The Miz. That's possible, but with the involvement of Sami Zayn in the end of that match as well with Kevin Owens, could be another purpose, another direction for both of them too. So we'll see. Where does Jericho go from here? Where does Ambrose go from here? Ambrose, who was protected and actually quite very strong up until WrestleMania, up until they a little fucked up his character a little bit. The Ambrose Asylum skip is kind of cool, but I do feel that he's going to be quite lost in the shuffle in that new era type of gimmick. Not being the focus or focusly hated on like Roman Reigns is, or loved crazily like an AJ Styles or Finn Balor that could debut anytime. finds himself in a weird situation because when Seth Rollins comes back, either as a babyface, because Seth Rollins either comes back as a top babyface or a floundering mid-table heel, because the heel side of things is getting quite top-heavy with the presence of Roman Reigns in a way in as a heel portion. Because if you're not a face, you're kind of like on a heel. If you know you're not full heel, if you're a half heel, you're still considered a heel, right? So that would make sense. So the heel side of things is really top-heavy with Kevin Owens, Chris Jericho, because Jericho and Owens are actually, even though Owens is talking about his IC titles, he was involved in the number one contender match. He did lose it, but he was involved with that match with AJ Styles and Cesaro taking the place of Zayn. Yeah, so that being said, we'll see where they go from now. What does Sami Zayn? Could the Sami Zayn continue the Kevin Owens story? They're kind of stuck to it because they took so much care of that story, how it's portrayed, how it's told with the videos on Raw last two weeks actually, and in this pay-per-view before the match, the same video. The emphasis on this feud was put with the emotion aspect, with the 14 years in friendship, brotherhood aspect, growing up in the mean streets of Montreal's wrestling community. And growing up together as athletes, as men, as brothers. There at his wedding. There when his kids were born, you know. That type of relationship between the two was really built up on the program. And it gives this feud something important. So they're probably going to continue with it. But it's the type of feud that you can forget for a couple months, move on, and then re-spark it and make it progress a little further. Then you transition to one of those two getting a championship. But then you go back to that feud with the jealousy aspect of it. So it's the type of feud that can be dragged on for years and years and years. And that, my friends, is something that's been missing in this product. A feud that's not start and resolute and moving on. Start and resolute and stop and moving on. Start and resolute and stop moving on. No, to have a feud that feels more organic. You know, when you truly hate somebody, you don't hate him one day, and the next day everything's fine without something major happening. And that's the feud in real life. Look, if we're looking at Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn going to the future would be, look, I hate you, we fight. We both get beat up by the same man, we're going to become friends for like a month, but then one of them turn again on the other, one of them gets a championship, probably Sami Zayn gets a championship, Kevin Owens does the same thing he did in NXT, where he's jealous, throws the beat down, turns on him again, beat down, the feud is re-sparked, we're gone for another 2 years. And then you putting on a back burner with those two getting the WWE championship, and then the jealousy aspect comes back in, Kevin Owens attacks him from behind and say, you know what, I was wrong. When I said I forgive you and we were friends, I didn't mean it. I still hate you. I still hate your guts. And that will be what's going to happen moving forward. That type of feud is amazing, you know, where it changes, it evolves, it feels organic because there's ebb and flows, high and lows. That's what you want in the feud. And I do think that's what we're about to get with this Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn feud that will be continuing, I hope so, for years down the road. We're about to wrap things up here on SPN Radio. It was Down the Aisle Radio. WWE Payback After Show Review. You can listen to the archive version of this show on the Sports Podcasting Network. If you're just a wrestling fan, you don't love other part of sports, you can just subscribe to Down the Aisle Wrestling Podcast. You can find it on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Feedburner, anywhere you like. You will find Down the Aisle Wrestling Podcast, or subscribe to the network. Find SPN anywhere on all the podcatchers, iTunes, Stitcher out there, or go to the sportspodcastingnetwork.com to make sure you never miss a show. I am Kevin Laramie, and until next time, take that bump. You were listening to SPN, the Sports Podcasting Network. Visit us, sportspodcastingnetwork.com.